Chapter 1. Love and War. We returned to Dunmergen a day later, flitting through the frozen dawn. We'd not the strength to bear witness as Lily Divok broke Diel's will, binding the girl with her blood and forcing her to beat that poor maidservant Red. But nor did we have the strength to stay away for long. Our wounds were healing slowly, feeding as we were only on wandering wretched, but we were healing. And hopeless as Diel's fate seemed now, we could not simply abandon her. God would never forgive me that. We returned to the dun on small red wings, just a mote of us, battling a storm raging in off the bay. But wending down into the keep's dungeons, we realized Diel was no longer there. And so we spiraled upward, past the blood-drunk monsters slumbering in the Hall of Plenty, the scorched dragging corpses to the kitchens, and the maids washing gore off the floors, until, at last, we found Diel in the upper reaches, sprawled on a bed of red satin, naked in the arms of Lily Divok. She was a picture, no mistake, ashen locks tumbled over the beauty spot on her cheek, bloodstains pinking her lips. Sighing in her sleep, the Grail slipped an arm around the monster beside her, nuzzling Lily's neck. But the vampire was awake, midnight eyes fixed on the ceiling as thunder crashed. She wore only her whalebone half-corset, black velvet trimmed red. In truth, she never seemed to take it off. And as the strangled sun dragged itself above the horizon, the Heartless pushed Diel's hand away and rose from the bed.
"Where are you going?"
came a murmur, muzzy with sleep. The Contessa Divok slipped on a black chemise, hair tumbling about her face like rivers of blood. Her every movement was preternaturally precise, nothing wasted, nothing spared. Alabaster poetry in motion, centuries in the writing.
"The day star rises. There be matters to attend afore I sleep."
"No,"
the girl sighed. Diel rose from the bed, slipped gentle arms around the vampire's waist. Pressing close, Diel scattered Lily's cold throat with warm kisses, fingertips roaming the monster's marbled curves. And our hearts sank as we saw a fresh brand atop her left hand, an ornate crown set with twisted antlers, new scorched in her flesh.
"Stay with me," Dior's lips curled as she whispered, "Mistress."
Lily sighed, cold breath tickling Dior's throat. We knew there would be few pleasures that might move a creature so old that a monster as ancient as the Heartless would have indulged her every darkest desire over her centuries. And yet, despite the dust on her bones, we could see how Lily quickened at the girl's touch.
"Mother Moons, that scent," she breathed. "Would that I could taste thee."
Diel shivered as those ruby lips brushed her neck, as those hands caressed her body. Letting her head drift back, sighing as ivory needles touched her prickling skin.
"I want you to," she breathed. "But I don't want to burn you."
She drew back, met the vampire's bottomless eyes.
"I love you."
"Do not love me, mortal."
Lily smiled, dark and empty.
"Adore me."
"I do."
Diel kissed her mistress again, pleading,
"Stay with me."
The ancient touched the Grail's cheek, one clawed fingertip tracing the bow of her blood-stained mouth.
"Alone, Lily slumbers, poppet,
and in the knowledge thou hast imparted, there be much to consider.
Old enough am I to recall the name Esani with all the poisonous hatred it is due, and I must ponder how best to turn revelation to advantage over the iron hearts. She smiled soft, without sweet distraction of thy company. Our heart quailed to hear those words, to know Dior must have confessed all to the Contessa, about the faithful, about Mother Marin in Eventide somewhere in this city, even about us. Our wings froze still for fear of those dark eyes finding us on the ceiling above. The thought that our subterfuge was undone, that Lily would now know to look for us. Great Redeemer, what was I to do? Lily slipped her claws into Dior's hair, drawing her closer, lips but a breath apart. We feast at sunset. Thou shalt kneel at thy mistress's right hand. Dress accordingly. And with that, the ancient turned, opening the boudoir doors. Prince lifted his head from the threshold outside, the one-eyed wolf wagging his tail like a fresh pup at the sight of his beloved mistress. Lily caressed his spine as she stalked past, the beast turning to regard Dior with its one good eye. It was pale and cold, sapphire blue, glittering with feral cunning. But Lily called his name, and Prince turned, bounding down the hall after her. Dior closed the doors, sighing. The room seemed less chill now the monster had departed, and she stood naked in the dark for a long moment, fingertips pressed to blood-stained lips. Then she stalked to the cold hearth and picked up the poker beside it. As we watched, she began practicing, running the sword forms dear Gabriel had shown her, the poker, her blade. Belly, chest, throat, repeat. Her body was toned from miles and trials, leaner and harder now, breath coming smoother. She was becoming quite adept with the blade. Yet, we wondered why she practiced at all. Her bedchamber was one of many in the Dun's Reaches, plush and sumptuously appointed. Great windows looked out over the courtyard below, the bay beyond, the fixtures all mahogany and brass. The double doors were carved with the wolf and nine swords of Clan Mergen, but as in many chateaux of the day, the bedchamber had doors beyond the obvious. And as Dior practiced, we saw the bookshelf behind her whisper open on silent hinges, a figure slipping into the room at the Grail's back. It was Worm. The maidservant was still bruised from her beating, black and blue splashed faint on her face. But she moved quiet and quick, mismatched eyes of emerald green and sapphire blue locked now on Dior's spine. And we felt a sliver of perfect fear pierce our long dead heart as we spied a dagger in the serving girl's hand. She stole across the furs, jaw clenched, and though we knew it would place us only further in danger, we could not help but warn Dior, fluttering down from the rafters and battering her cheek. But the girl only brushed us away, speaking to the figure closing behind. I was expecting a visit from you. Worm froze, knife poised. Dior turned to face the older girl, motioning to the bed. Throw me that slip. I'd have dressed if I'd known you'd show up this early. Worm looked Dior over, bruised eyes narrowed and split lips pursed.
Just what exactly is your game, girl?
Dior tilted her head, hard and bare and gleaming with sweat.
Do I look like I'm playing, Cherie?
Worm pursed her lips, eyes never leaving Dior's as she tossed a pale silken slip at the girl's face. Dior stepped back, expecting some feint, gutter smarts gleaming behind sharp blue eyes. But Worm made no advance, and scooping up the shift with her poker, Dior dragged it over her head and her mop of ashen curls from her face.
You disobeyed, Lily, Worm murmured, when she ordered you to beat me. You put on a show, but you only pretended to kick me. You've drunk from her 3 times now. You're scorched by her hand. Her wish should be your command, but you disobeyed.
Worm drummed her fingers on her knife hilt.
You're not thralled to her.
Neither are you, Dior replied. Not any more, at least.
How could you know that?
You were acting odd when you dressed me, protected me from Nikita, took time to give me counsel, even though it meant tempting Lily's temper. And you never call her mistress when she's not in the room. But I didn't know until I ran into Joaquin. Worm shook her head.
That new hound boy.
He spotted me escaping the dungeons a couple of nights back, but he never turned me in. Thing is, when I broke free on the way here, he was the first to track me down. He almost died for it, stabbed 3 times in the chest trying to please his dear wolf mother. So I got to wondering, why would he let me go now? What changed?
You healed him when he was dying, Worm realized. As you healed me.
Dior nodded, speaking a handful of words that weighed as much as the world. My blood breaks the bond between master and servant. It sets thralls free. We could see a thrill in the maidservant's face at those words, the same we felt in our own dead chest. We'd never heard of such a thing, nor imagined such a miracle.
But why are you not thralled?
Worm demanded. Dior only shook her head. I've not the first damn clue, but the Vos can't read my mind. I only pretend to obey when Divok use their whip. I suppose it makes sense that vampire blood wouldn't slave me either, considering mine burns them to cinders.
How is that possible?
Worm looked down at her hands, bewildered.
My ties to Lily are broken, but the strength she gave me lingers. My bruises still heal quicker than they might have if I were only mortal. Are you a sorceress? Some servant of the pit or child of the fallen?
I'm... Dior shook her head, breathing deep before the dive. I'm a descendant of the Redeemer. I know it sounds blasphemy and madness, trust me. I still have trouble believing it myself some days. But the Almighty's son was a mortal man, and before he was put to the wheel, he had a child with Mishon, his first disciple, a daughter named Isan. That name sounds... The maidservant frowned, quizzical.
Old Talhostic.
The Grail's eyes narrowed at that, and we were a wonder too, that a mere maidservant might recognize that ancient tongue.
It means faith, Dior said. Isan was the child of Mishon and Heaven, and her holy blood runs in my veins. It burns cold bloods to ashes, heals any wound, and if what my friends have told me is true, it can end Day's death, once and for all.
Worm lowered her blade, whispering,
Great Redeemer.
Dior winced, apologetic. Just a distant relative, I'm afraid. The maidservant stalked to the doors, checking they were locked. Her cheeks were flushed, pulse thrumming as she paced the room. Despite Dior's outlandish claim, it seemed this young woman was sensible enough to believe the proof of her own eyes.
Mother Maid, do you know what this means?
Worm hissed.
We can take back this city, free every conquered mind from their grip, every soldier, every sword maid, break the shackles those monsters have locked us in, and burn the bastards in their beds.
Dior smiled, cold as a frozen river.
Now you're catching on.
She looked to her shoulder as we alighted upon it, our whispering wings on her skin. We were a joy at all this, to know our secrets were safe, surely, but more that Dior was safe also. We could not help but marvel at her courage, her guile. She even had us fooled with that kiss. To dance so close to this danger, unflinching, to walk through this fire unburned, and in that moment, I knew the Almighty had chosen his chosen well.
I told Lily nothing of worth, she murmured to us. I talked about Sister Chloe and Pierre Raffa. I told her that the book with the ritual to end Day's death was still hidden in the San Michon library. Give her a secret to believe, a task to turn her mind to. But I said nothing about the Esana, or Mother Marin,
or you. What is that?
Worm whispered, looking at my moat.
One of those friends I mentioned,
Dior replied.
Selene can help us.
Her friend?
The maidservant shook her head. I have travelled the length and breadth of this empire, Dior Lachance, and I have never met a girl half so strange as you. I've not seen much of this empire at all, but I was running Ritz and Lachemay from the time I was 11, and one of the first things I learned on the grift is how to spot other people on it too.
Dior studied the older girl, finally shaking her head.
You're no maidservant. You're about as common as I am noble. Who the hell are you?
Worm breathed deep, mismatched eyes on Dior's own.
My name is Rain, fifth-born daughter of Neve Nine Swords, who was declared Duchess and ruler of this nation by Emperor Alexandre III. I am a blooded child of the royal house of Mergen, and after my sister Yvain, rightful Laird Lady of these lands.
Dior and we both studied the young woman toe to crown. Despite the homespun cloth, the bruises and bloodstains, we could see a regal bearing unveiled now, a fierce pride in the girl's mismatched eyes. The Lady Rain stood with chin high, strawberry blonde hair glinting in the dim dawn, and we could not help but think of the statue in the keep below, the mighty Nine Swords herself. A woman who had conquered this nation by the age of 25 and melted the swords of her defeated foes to forge her own.
Ossian Princess,
Dior murmured.
I told Gabe I wanted to meet one of your lot. You're not wearing a chastity belt under that homespun, are you?
What?
Nothing.
Dior blinked, shook her head.
We need to get to it. How does it work, your blood? Must it be touched to a mortal wound, or...
I've no clue. Dior scuffed her hand through her hair.
If we have to stab everyone in the tits before we free them, this is going to get messy quick. But drinking blood is enough to thrall people. Maybe drinking is enough to free them too.
Rain began pacing the boudoir again, hands clasped at her back.
We should test the truth of it then. My ladies often dine together and I usually serve the fare. If you might spare me a dram, I will watch for chance to liberate them all at one stroke. Your ladies?
Dior blinked.
Lily took your maidservants off you, scorched them, made them beat you.
The Grail sighed. Sadistic cow.
They are not mere servants, Dior Lachance,
Rain replied.
Royal daughters of the Oswear are attended by swordsmaids, not handmaids. Lady Arlin and her sisters are warriors, born and bred.
She winced, prodding her bruises.
More pity my ribs.
All right. Dior snatched up a small vase, hand outstretched. Give me the shiv. The lady regarded the Grail in silence. She was obviously overwhelmed, and few could blame her. But in her failing eyes, we saw the pragmatism of long roads and broad horizons. This was not a princess who'd spent her life in high towers and silken gowns. This was the daughter of a conqueror who'd carved her name into the pages of history.
Do I trust you enough to hand you a blade, is the question?
She murmured.
Truth told, I don't trust you either, Lady Amergen. I never had time to waste on the noble-born, never saw haves do anything other than take from have-nots. But love and war make strange bedfellows, and in case it slipped your notice...
Dior looked around them and shrugged.
It's you and me against the fucking world right now.
Rain stared a moment longer, then flipped the blade and handed it over, hilt first. Dior sat on the bed, pressing the knife into the soft arch of her foot. Rain frowned.
Why are you... My blood heals others, not myself.
Dior winced, carefully collecting the dripping crimson in the vase.
If Lily sees the cut tonight, I'll say I stepped on glass. And if this works, bring a lantern next time. I'll burn the wound shut so she has less chance of smelling it.
The Grail handed over the small vase, brimming now with brilliant holy red.
Be careful with that. Be quick. The dead can scent my blood like hounds to prey.
Fear not. I know the secret paths of this keep, and soon they shall be the hunted in it.
Rain took the vase, her voice cold as winter dawn.
These monsters slaughtered my sisters, murdered my mother, bled my country dry, and by my blood and breath I vow they will pay for every drop of it.
Dior pressed on her wound to staunch the flow, extended one hand to Rain.
Good fortune, Lady Amegen. Ossians put not our fates in the hands of Angel Fortuna, Mademoiselle Lachance. My mother did not unite this nation by trusting to hope.
Lady Rain gritted her teeth, fey eyes shining.
We, Mehagens, light our own way and make our own look.
Mother Maid, watch over you, then.
Rain took Dior's hand, her calloused grip making the Grail wince.
And you...
Dior watched the lady slip out the servant's door with blood in hand, and long after she'd left, the Grail sat staring, running soft fingertips over her lips as she sighed.
Ossian, princess.